When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Have you heard Spike's Car Radio? It's comedian, actor, writer Spike Ferriston sitting on the porch in Malibu talking with some cool people about cool cars and life in general.
My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. He was all right. Don't try to hug him.
Chris Hardwick.
I could feel everything on the road. I mean, it was basically like, it was like unprotected sex for driving.
Jeremy Piven.
I think you and Jerry are spiritually tied to cars, and I respect it and I love it, but I don't quite get it yet, but I want to get it.
Download new episodes of Spike's Car Radio every Wednesday on the Podcast One app, or save time and subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
Daredevil Events and Corolla Drinks present Rock at the Shop featuring Loxie.
Oh man, I hear you begging, please. Ain't my decision to be kind.
July 29th at South Bay Customs in El Segundo, California.
But I can't help you go follow your woman through the weather, yeah.
Loxie. Plus, the smoking kills.
Just another Southern California.
Rock at the Shop, July 29th.
And all the pretty girls start to look the same.
Corolla Drinks presents Rock at the Shop with Loxie and the Smokin' Kills. Hosted by comedian Matt Edgar. July 29th at South Bay Customs, 115 Penn Street, El Segundo, California. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to CarCast. Man, Carl, it's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea, over there, man.
Hello, hello.
Oh, what's going on, man? A lot of car stuff going
on. Things are busy. I'm getting excited about the Detroit trip.
Mm-hmm.
Going to that? You probably forgot we were even doing that. Things have been nuts. You've been running around, building the house. I'm like, by the way, we're going to Detroit.
Yeah, I got that. I found out I was going to talk to Congress before that, which is...
I feel like that's going to screw up a little bit of our plans of like touring the Henry Ford Museum or whatever.
Well, it's of course it's impossible for me just to go somewhere and enjoy myself.
Yeah.
There has to be some work or something or some thing or while
that's
you're
Mike
there,
working his magic.
Yeah, just go to some state that's a few states over and do some work, and then you'll be back in time. Yeah, you won't eat dinner, but you'll be back in time for whatever event you have to do after that. And it ends up, it could go no other way. On the other hand, when Congress wants you to talk, I guess you have to talk.
You got to do it.
So we got that.
I will take pictures for you at the Henry Ford Museum.
Yep. I'm into it. I'm trying to think. You know, the thing I like most about car museums is the air conditioning.
Oh, yeah.
It's always cool in there. And a little smell of vulcanized rubber, but
like kind of quiet, like a library.
Yeah, thick walls, no windows.
Yeah, I like that.
So we got that coming up. This Laguna Seca's coming up. We're gonna go
the
do
Sonoma
some
thing.
Sonoma with Jay Leno driving a Newman car. There's lots of travel, lots of events, lots of fun, but also lots of like kind of have to practice a little and. Wrap your mind around a few things and kind of just lots of stuff flying our way. But we're going to keep you guys in the loop.
Yeah.
And posted on all that's going on. And there's a lot. So we will we will be your little backstage pass to all this stuff.
Yeah. So last week we went out, you did the Forza Motorsport commercial.
Right.
Which they've got some cool cars there, which will be released with the commercial. It's all part of a big unveiling. But I think in like end of August or beginning of September time, the commercials will be released. They'll be like online commercials and we'll tell you all about those. But I mean, you talk about a hot time. Like we went out to Irwindale.
Mm-hmm.
And we can tell you it was a Forza Motorsport commercial, and we can tell you it was you and a couple people and Ken Block, who is very sweet. I like that guy.
I do, too.
And that's why he was with us on CarCast last week. But it was, what, 110 degrees outside?
Well, it was. The heat is all just sort of a combination of a few factors. The one is the heat itself. And then the second is sort of where are you? And if you're standing in the middle of acres of asphalt with nary a shrub to deflect any of the heat.
And you're in a bowl because you're in like, it's like a quarter mile or a half mile oval bank. Right. So you're literally in a bowl with asphalt. At one point, one of the guys had the laser thermometer and I hit it on the ground. And it said 153 or 153.6.
Right. And that was the cooler day.
That was the cooler day of the two.
Right.
It must have hit 158.
And then there's the, no hats, no sunglasses, put on these jeans and this jacket and go shoot this thing.
That was the best part. There was some other people out there and they're like, you wear this. And you, Adam, you wear jeans and a jacket.
Right. Yeah.
But the idea was cool. You guys are going to dig it. It's going to be fun.
Easy. And easy to do. And if you back the heat out of the whole thing, it would just be the easiest three work days I've ever had.
Yeah.
With the heat, it just added a new element.
The heat, it was funny because we keep talking about that, but because we can't talk about the cars, which is unfortunate. But they had a trailer there for you, and it couldn't keep itself cool. Like,
yeah,
there was
we tried.
Generator and air. And
we tried.
It was just sucking in hot air and trying to cool it. It was just working too hard, the AC and that thing.
So you went to Galpin Motorsport,
I did,
right?
Yeah.
And what was that about?
So I went over there, and History, the TV network, the channel, is doing like a car week in August. I believe it's like August 13 through 16. Mm-hmm. And the kickoff show is a two-night event. It's like 2 hours each night for a show called The Cars That Changed America. Mm-hmm. And they interviewed me. They interviewed Mario Andretti. They interviewed Bo Bachman for Galpin and a couple of NASCAR drivers and some historians and just all about, cars in America and what it's changed from everything from Model Ts to muscle cars to, electric cars. And it should be good. It should be fun. And I like that history's putting a lot of effort into, like, it's their version of Shark Week, but it's like Car Week.
What cars did you talk about?
Well,
had to be American cars, right?
Yeah, we did. So we touched on Model T and Henry Ford and his impact because it was just different then. Like, the Model T was around for like 15 years or 17 years,
I guess.
And he was just reluctant to change it. Like, why do I got to change it? I don't need to change it. This car works.
All
but
right,
also, there was like, there was no competition banging down the door going, hey, we got something that's better. He was like, no, nothing's better.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one.
Yeah, yeah, no. It's the competition, man. It forces you to change and it forces you to grow, forces you to work. Like, it's like gravity. Like, it never goes away. It doesn't take a weekend off. It's just always there, and you always have to go compete against it. And the winner is the consumer. I mean, look at the cars when you go to the auto show now. It's not like there are three brands to choose from. There's 17 brands to choose from, and the product is all good.
Yeah.
It's like,
and we talked about that too. It's like,
it's B plus to A plus, but it's not D minus to A plus.
Yeah. I mean, there's huge things that happen in the automotive industry. Like, we got our muscle cars, which we love, and then the 70s came around, and the Japanese cars started coming here because they were smaller, more efficient, where the American car companies were pulling like a Henry Ford from back in the day. They're like, I don't want to change. They were kind of kicking and screaming. So they gave us the Pinto, which was, that was their response to the Japanese small cars coming here, so we got that, and then eventually we
got the Chevette. So,
but now we live in a time where, like, we have awesome compact cars. We have Ford Fiesta STs and Focus RSs and things like that. But also when you look at us and you look at some other countries around the world, like, our society loves the automobile so much that we've almost built our communities around that. Like, we've built, you know, our infrastructure around our ability to be able to drive cars, you know,
right.
Not just as a tool, but as an enthusiast because you're passionate about it. So,
well, we always
it should be cool and it'll be fun. And knowing Mario Andretti, he's going to have a couple of good quotes in there about, you know, the future of technology, because he's a little more adverse to it than I'd say averse to it than we are.
Well, you know, everyone wants to know about driverless cars. Now, the thing about if you're a fighter pilot and drones are coming in and you're not going to get in the cockpit anymore, then I can see that's an issue.
Yeah.
For me, the driverless car, I'm not sure, you know, what you're looking for out of your commute.
Yeah.
As long as you can go the track, or as long as you can do the autocross in the parking lot on the weekends, yeah. Like as long as you can get the driver's club and go make your Mulholland run or whatever it is, as long as that's still on the table, then sitting in traffic or just getting from A to B or easing traffic because people are moving. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's like, where I live, I have a bunch of left turn arrows, but there's also one big right turn arrow as well. As a matter of fact, Max Pata, the last picture I took on my phone was of this arrow, and I'll just show it to you. But it's a giant, I guess I took a video.
That's all right, we can work with videos here.
I never really know what I'm doing. Maybe it's a 2-second video. So it's this giant red box that has a no right
turn. I just saw that today in the valley because a train was coming and it was
arrow.
Very adamant about me not turning right.
But if you look down the street, there's just nothing. There's nothing coming the other direction. It's just we're just sitting there.
When you turn right, though, is there a railroad track?
No, there's nothing. Okay. It's just we're just sitting there, and I'm like sitting there, and I'm kind of wondering whether I should honk or not, because in my world, there's no cars coming.
Yeah,
I don't know why there's a big red arrow here, but we're just going to turn. There's nobody coming the other direction, or pedestrians, or anything. So I'm kind of like,
I don't know if you can honk in that situation.
I can't.
No, you can't.
I can't honk in that situation. I'll tell you when I can honk. I can honk when the big red arrow that's been there and should never be there, and we're just sitting there watching our lives, just the sand through the hourglass of our lives just pass. When the arrow goes away and now it's just red, and there's no cars coming again, but there's some kind of acclimation period where the person's like, huh, like their miniature
still red,
acorn sign
area,
brain is like, well, the big red arrow's gone, but now it's still red. Let me process this for a while. That's when I get on the horn.
Then
and
you
go,
can, because that forces them to that make a decision, and the decision is go.
Right. And then the next guy, I was two cars back, the next guy got pissed because he then drove forward and stopped, you know, at the red.
Yeah.
And he waited like a 2 minutes, and I honked at him, and he was like, what the fuck? And I'm like, just go.
Just honk.
Can we just go? Yeah. Just go. Would you go? There's nobody coming.
Yeah.
What? Do you really need the government to explain to you when you can turn right? Like, I don't. I have eyeballs.
A lot of people do, which is why I'm not opposed to the autonomous car. As long as you don't take away my right to drive my own car, there's definitely a benefit to the autonomous car.
What would be, if
everybody else was in an autonomous car.
Well, there should be no arrows ever. There should simply... Or even red lights in certain intersections at certain times. It should simply be stop, no traffic, here we go.
Yeah.
The idea that we're just waiting for this arrow while nobody else is turning in front of us or coming the other. We're just going to turn right on a street, right? The only posed traffic would be someone coming the other way and turning left onto the same street. This is a T, by the way, a T intersection. We're just turning right up the base of the T. There is no other opportunity for anyone to show up. So there are no cars coming our way. There are no cars turning left.
Yeah.
And we're just sitting there. That's a huge waste of my time. Now, I, of course, drive through them every single time. You can't convince the people in front of you to do it. I really wish we could. But then I don't know the guy who moves forward and then stops and holds it for 3 Mississippi after the arrow's gone away. Like, just, I guess you need the desire to arrive, which most people, they don't have that will to arrive or something.
No, and they didn't even notice people behind them. And, you know, equally frustrating, there's a little neighborhood that I drive through all the time in Santa Monica, just part of my route. There's a roundabout with right. a stop sign.
Oh, no.
It's
why
like,
have a stop
why,
sign
what's
if
that
there's
about?
A...
Yeah. And then I kind of just ignore the stop sign, and I go through, and people look at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be going. It's a roundabout.
I got to say, Los Angeles has to be the dumbest and worst city in the world. Because they say, you know, the federal government says to people who live in California, hey, turn over all your illegals to ICE. And they go, no. We're not going to comply with that law. We're going sanctuary state. So screw you. And then the federal government goes, we're going to cut you off from your funding if you don't turn over the illegals. And I go, sorry, we do what we want to do. We're rebels.
Yeah.
We dance to the beat of our own drummer over here, and we don't listen to the man. But then when the fucking stop sign comes along on the roundabout, now you're yeah, listening to the man.
Now you're listening to the man.
I'd like to live in a world where we turned over the illegals, but where we didn't listen to the man was about the stop sign. We're such puss drivers.
I know.
The cab drivers are the slowest fucking people in the world out here. It's
you
so,
wish
it's horrible.
They were more aggressive and drove like cab drivers.
Yes. You yeah. want to know why they don't?
Yes.
I have the answer to every question that vexes everybody.
You have my undivided attention.
Everybody goes, well, what's different about New York and L.A.? Well, the city's different. No, it's not that. It's about aggressive driving. Different equipment? Is the cars are faster? No.
No, they're
driving Priuses and whatever. No. Hmm. Nationality. There's something going on. Like all German guys driving. No. Middle Eastern guys. Pakistan. Yeah. Whatever. Like, no. What's different? What's different? What's different? What's the factor? If anyone wants to know what the answer is, what's the factor? It's not the car. It's not the nationality of the driver. It's not the city. It's not anything. It's the fucking cops. We have chicken shit cops who hand out chicken shit yeah. tickets all fucking day long. If you drive for a living, how many of those tickets can you afford? That's your living.
Yeah.
You can afford none of those tickets on your record. This is what you do. And if you drove like they drove in New York City, here in L.A., you'd have 4.5 tickets a day.
Yeah.
That's what you would average. They can't do that. So they drive actually slower than the speed limit because they're scared shitless of our fucking Gestapo cops out yeah. here, which they don't have. Ever seen anyone getting a ticket in New York? I've never seen it. I've been there 35 times. I've walked the entire city 1,000 times. I've never seen anyone pull that on. You drive out here, you'll just pass someone by on the freeway edge. You can't go two exits without seeing somebody on the apron of the yeah. freeway there just getting a ticket.
I passed, no lie, 3 cops on the freeway today on the way here.
Yeah.
3.
Yeah.
And they were all pulling somebody over.
Right.
There was a cop, there was a motorcycle, a car.
Well, they're thinking about safety. The safety, it's called job safety because they'll get fucking yeah. fired if they don't hand out chicken shit tickets.
In Venice, I was walking down the street and the cop was hiding behind a tree on a motorcycle waiting for, you're going to love this, not for speeders.
Jaywalkers.
No, he was looking for the right turn on red because in this particular corner, it says no right turn on red, which everybody does. And he just sits there and waits for the guy to do it. He hides behind a tree in the shade.
Max Spada.
This is like
I've been on Venice and Lincoln. I've had a microphone in front of my face for almost 25 years.
Yeah.
I fucking scream. I've been screaming about this for 25 years. I don't blame the cops. They're fucking chicken shit cowards doing what they have to do to make their fucking money. Where's everybody else? Is it just me? I'm the only fucking motherfucker who yells about this. Only. 25 years. Only. Nobody else. Nobody. Why? What the fuck is wrong with everybody? Why is this okay? Why is this acceptable? I mean, when I got a fucking ticket in Burbank for jaywalking, I went on Kevin and Bean and went ballistic for 6 months. I beat the ticket. I was calling the cop's name out. I was screaming, I hope he gets testicular cancer from holding a fucking radar gun in his lap. I was going nuts, nuts, and nuts, and everyone else just sit there. They're scared of the cops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Cops, you work for us, bitch. We don't work for you. They've got it flipped the wrong way. They think we're supposed to be scared of them. Criminals are supposed to be scared of them.
Yeah.
Not taxpayers. I love this fucking piece of shit town where all the citizens are scared shitless of cops.
And the criminals aren't, actually.
The criminals aren't. The illegals are.
It's ingrained in me. Like, if I see a cop just in my rearview mirror, I kind of tense up, even just the slightest bit.
Yeah, well, you're a minority.
They are.
So.
They are.
Yeah, that's true.
They're the group that we pay to protect us.
Yeah. You're supposed to feel good when you see a cop.
Fucking J-Lo is scared of her security?
Exactly.
They're on the fucking payroll. It drives me insane. Fuck. That's why I hate.
You can't feel good about that as a cop.
I hate Garcetti. I hate Gavin Newsom. I hate Jerry Brown. I hate all these fucking assholes who never. I mean, you know what we got to find? You got to write it down. I had, you know, when I had Gavin Newsom in here, I beat the shit out of him over these predatory check cashing places he was talking about famously. But the whole thing started off by me talking to him about click it or ticket or turn right on a red.
Yeah,
you know, like, what are we doing? We have the worst traffic in the world. Why aren't you guys out working on this traffic problem? And he's just like, okay, Adam. All right. I'm like, no, not all right. What are you doing? I just, we see things a little differently. It's like, no, you don't. It's a fucking traffic everywhere. Do something.
Yeah.
Like, we got to find the part of that interview, Max Zapata. Beginning, middle, where I'm talking to him about traffic, and he has no... Oh, Gordon's on. He has no good answers for anything.
Yeah.
Gordon McCall. You know what? Hold on a second, Gordon McCall. Let me tell you about Garage Boss first. Garage Boss, makers of innovative oil change accessories, is introducing the new Reacher Height Adjustable Drain Pan. Yeah.
I like this. This defines my life, Reacher Height.
Can get up... Get under that pan, get under that diff, whatever your transmission, whatever you're draining, man. Height adjustable catch funnels gets you right under the drain plug, prevents the misses and the splashes. Works with low profile cars, trucks on the ground, or the ones up on the jack stands, the ramps, whatever it is. Drains into a sealed container. All you do for cleanup is... catch the funnel, and you're done. That's it. Super easy. Garage Boss also has a new line of crystal clear funnels. Oh, I like that. Crystal clear, not those weird foggy ones.
Yeah.
See what you pour and prevent overfilling. And it's great for cleanup. Easy to store. Check it out. And check out the video at AutoZone.com. Oh, they got a video. So check it out. Go to GarageBoss.com. That's GarageBoss.com. Or just search Amazon for GarageBoss. Good people.
Yeah.
Great product.
Click through CarCast Show.
Yeah. Gordon McCall. You know him from his hangar party and the quail we always go to every year. Gordon?
Hey.
Hey, man. Good to speak to you.
You know, that's a lot of MFing to follow.
I know. I'm angry.
I think I might woefully disappoint you unless you want me to dirty it up a bit. I don't know.
No, you're a gentleman.
You're a sweet guy. We might want to talk about the traffic problem leaving the Quail.
Oh, Gordon. Listen, you got to get those volunteers to implement the zipper, man.
That they got to do the zipper.
Last time, the one road that meant the main road, the chick just had like 150 cars go this way, and then two cars, and then 150. And like, she kept stopping, and then like, just
the
just let
works.
Everyone do the zipper. Just have her wave it, man.
I know nothing.
Yeah, well,
come on.
Say something is what I'm saying.
You got to have
Gavin
like a,
on the line to talk about the traffic.
Oh, come on, God. There's got to be a team meeting Friday morning when you're launching the Quail and be like, listen.
Just tell the volunteers on the corner just to keep that arm waving like the third base coach when the guy's going for the triple. Just waving that arm.
Yeah.
I can tell you that the traffic plan is entirely different this year.
Okay.
More coordination with actually professional traffic company.
Oh.
And the California Highway Patrol. So,
oh, good.
Yeah. I didn't know a professional traffic company existed.
Well, you know, believe it or not, they're specialty firms out there, and that's what they do. They do traffic. So,
oh, good.
Yep.
We're excited.
Should be considerably better.
So the Quail...
The two-lane road out there.
That, I know.
That's the downside.
The Quail is just one of the best little niche little spots in the entire weekend. I'd say it's our favorite.
It is.
It's not the biggest. It's not the loudest. It's just our favorite. It's like it's quiet. It's mellow. The food is great. The booze is great. The cars are amazing.
We pretty much plan the schedule, the racing, the other events all around the Quail.
Right.
Awesome. That's awesome. Well, you know, it's 15 years now. And our this whole crazy idea of coming up with this all-inclusive, everybody's a VIP, you know, none of that kind of wristband anxiety that you get when you go to an event and you're not quite sure if you can use the running water toilet or the honey pot or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
What's really cool about this, it says a ton about the parent company, the Peninsula Hotel Group, as well as Quail Lodge and the Peninsula Signature Events office, is it's 15 years later, and no one is doing the same thing anywhere.
Yeah. So what's going to be the featured marquee this year? I mean, we saw the Lamborghini Miras. And
oh, yeah. We had a few of those there. So every year we like to mix it up with the, you know, the car displays are fun. There's over 200 cars there, and you know, arguably not everybody there is a car nut per se. So, you know, with the food and the beverages and all the rest of it. But we always like to be kind of out there in terms of leading, you know, and I think, Adam, you would agree. I mean, years ago, I had Dave Frelson's national championship B sedan 510 there. That was before the Datsun craze, and I don't want to call it a craze, but finally, as you know, I'm a longtime
510 guy.
You know, the cars are getting recognized now. You have a lot to do with that. Thank you.
I do. Never think that way.
Crazy prices on these ratty old Trans Am cars that are unaffordable. Thank you for that.
They're not ratty anymore. Now they're getting crazy prices. They're getting fixed.
Exactly.
Dave Stone owns that Frelson car, right?
Yeah.
Good guy.
He's a nice guy, Dave Stone.
Dave's a great guy. You know, I featured Pete Brock as an honored guest before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've known Pete forever, or I should call him Peter now. But, you know, it's funny. We like to be kind of leading the way in terms of enthusiastic car nuts. And this year I picked a couple of oddball classes, something you may not expect to see during Monterey Car Week. Mid-engine marvels is one of our featured categories. And, you know, you guys, we could sit down and talk about mid-engine marvels all day.
Yeah, the Corvair.
But you know, it goes all the way back to the mid-60s with the ATS that kind of started it all, and then, you know, every supercar today is a mid-engine marvel, and so everything in between. So we've got a huge mid-engine marvel class, which is going to be a ton of fun. And then to be a little different, you know, when you think of Monterey Car Week, you don't really think of customs, and yet it's a popular segment of the car world, and we're all about knocking the starch out of collars if it exists. We're, as you guys alluded to in the beginning, it's kind of a casual affair. You know, there aren't groups of judges wearing blue blazers with straw hats and neckties telling you what's wrong with your car. It's not that kind of a show. So the custom coachwork thing, I've always been a fan of it. We've got so many talented American builders out there. Why not find a way to incorporate them in Monterey Car Week and show people, particularly from Europe, et cetera, that aren't used to, you know, they don't make it to Pomona or the America's Most Beautiful Roads. You know, that they're not used to seeing these cars, is what I'm getting at. So we've got a custom coachwork class, and it's cars by Rick Dorr and Chip Foose and Rob Ida, Troy Ladd, all those custom guys. So there
is Steve Moll going to be represented?
You know, Steve's been there in the past. I'm not sure if Steve, you know, he used to bring Eric Zausner's cars out, and Eric moved to the East Coast, so we don't see Eric as much as we used to. But Steve Moll, I mean, the stuff that comes out of his head and turns into a car is incredible.
I agree. People should check
craftsman.
That guy's work out. He's one of the the Ring brothers do this a little, which is they take a Euro approach to the mods, whereas Chip Foose is all American.
Right.
The Ring brothers and Steve Mullen stuff take all this sort of, and is there
Steve
anyone
Strope.
Else? Strope will take the Euro and bring it sometimes to an American platform, but it's got a Euro vibe to it. It's a great combo.
And you know, Rick Dorr's been doing the same, Adam, with James Hetfield's cars.
That's
Really kind of, you know, you look at it and you think, wait a minute, is that a Fagoni Falaschi? Or it's like, no, it's Rick Dorr.
Yeah, yeah, it's yeah. great. This is my whole thing with cars, which is like, don't just be a Mopar guy.
Right.
You know, just make it the best. Yeah.
It's interesting that you're bringing these cars out there. It's not entirely new because we've seen Singer cars out there and Rod Emery Porsches out there and Icon stuff, and those guys have their touch on it as well. It's just.
But have you seen a class featuring them?
No, we haven't.
And
I haven't eaten sushi while looking at any of those cars.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Dipping it in tequila, exactly. You know, it's we're just different in that way, and it's really fun because it provokes conversation. You know, and inspires. You know, we got to look out for. I know. You know, you guys spend a lot of time on this. Is it, you know, who's this next wave? Who's taking our place? You know, who's what are the young kids? What are they interested in? You know, and so. I think we need to keep things relevant. So you've got to have what people expect, and then you've got to, in my view, you've got to mix it up with the unexpected. And that's what we really strive to do. I do the same thing at the Jet Center.
Do you come up with the theme every year, or do you have an idea already 2 years in advance, 3 years in advance? Like, do you kind of have it laid out? Because some of these cars and some of these people are not easy to schedule.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. That's the biggest challenge. It's both. You know, sometimes I'll target a specific car and it takes a few years to get it, and I'll build around it. And sometimes it just organically kind of happens. It's like, oh, you know, this is going to work. You know, we can get more than one. You know. So it's an interesting process.
Yeah. Well, you got 25 mirrors or something last year. That's an incredible feat.
Yeah.
I think it was the largest gathering of mirrors in one place.
Just get a car
that may well have been. You know, that was kind of the should have been a Skittles ad, actually.
Yeah, it was great.
Colors were amazing.
Like, I don't think the factory had 25 in production in the same roof at one time. Like, you know?
That
was cool.
So, yeah. Gordon, are there still tickets available for people who want to go to this?
You know, Quail Lodge says there's a lottery system for the tickets because it is a limited capacity event. You know, there's only a couple events during the week that are actually limited. My Jet Center event is one, the Quail is the other. And I just find that it's a great way to go about servicing, you know, the people that commit to participating in your event. It's like, don't just keep the gate open and, you know, lose out on the service end of it. So, they do have a lottery system. You can check in at their website. Quaillodge.com has a Peninsula Events. Click on their website. You can get into the lottery. It's frustrating for me to talk about the ticketing because I'd love nothing more than to say, oh, yeah, you know, go online and buy a ticket for, you know, your family. It's not that easy at this date. You know, we're a month out now, and it's pretty well spoken for. It sells out every year.
Yeah.
So,
How many tickets get sold every year?
Well, so working it backwards, because there are obviously sponsors involved and affinity partners, et cetera, the total headcount there is right around 5,000, which in the car world it's really not that many people when you spread it out over a golf course.
Yeah.
You know, and it's important to us. You know, Quail Lodge and the Peninsula Hotels are all about VIP service. You know, that's really what that company represents. And this just happens to be a car show that lands in the midst of their VIP service. And so more people was never the desire, you know, and that's why we've kept the headcount manageable.
Well, I suggest people throw their hat into the lottery because it is just the best event of the weekend. Everyone here feels the same way. I'm curious if you know anything about attendance at the track. It feels like the track Mazda Laguna Seca Raceway is getting more crowded every year.
Thank goodness. You know, having grown up on that track, Adam, I've got a strong feeling about that. But I get goosebumps every time I go up A Road to drive into the place. The history there is amazing. Vintage racing is really popular, as you know, being a participant. You know, it's something all of us car guys can relate to. We see cars with names on the side of them that we recognize. You know, it takes so many of us back to our youth. So I think for that reason, the attendance, the following, is certainly growing. Being that I don't work for the track, I'm free to call it Laguna Seca Raceway. No disrespect to Mazda.
Yeah.
But I just always think of it as Laguna. Amazing place. And you're right, the attendance is going up because I think familiarity with the cars as racing today, you know, racing is in general, it's a tough business today. You know, we don't have those iconic names that the three of us are so familiar with, having grown up with it. So, you know, and with television and 500 channels at home, it's tough to get people to go to racetracks nowadays to go see it live. But, you know, I remember as a kid in the 60s going out to Laguna Seca, being dropped off and spending the day out there with unexploded ordnance, no running water, porta potties, but the frickin' Can-Am was running.
Yeah.
It didn't matter, you know. It was all about the iconic race cars that we get to see today still, you know. So you're right, Adam. There's more people out there, and it's growing. That part of the motorsports arena is certainly growing. I mean, look at SVRA. Look at their, you know, look at all these different sanctioning bodies. You know, they're all, the grids are getting bigger. It's really neat.
Well, the website is McCallEvents.com if you want to know anything about the Jet Hangar Party or the Quail Motorsports Gathering. It's a treat. I would suggest you at least try to get involved with these. And Gordon, we'll find you at some point over the weekend and say hi.
I'll look for you guys. Always appreciate your support. It's always fun to see you guys up on the peninsula during that week. It's a fun time.
Thanks, Gordon McCall.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
You know, if you get up there and you only got 2 days, try to get to the Quail Friday and get to the track on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And the track's not expensive, I don't think, to get into. You know, it's like a Disneyland ticket or something. I don't know. It's like, maybe it's $50. I don't even know if it's that much.
It's always something like $50 for 1 day and $80 for 2 days or something like that.
It's more one of these things where, like, where do you go? Where do you stay? Or whatever. Like, if you're just making a day trip out of it, stay out of town where it's far less expensive. Drive in the morning, go to the track, see some racing, but then walk around the pits, see the cars, talk to some of the people that own the cars. They've all got an amazing story. Everybody's got a cool story.
I agree. All right. If they don't, they'll make one up.
Yeah.
Alone on History, back for the fourth season with a crazy new twist. Rules have changed. 10 survivalists are still dropped into an unforgiving wilderness, but now it's 5 competing teams. Brothers, father and son, married couple, all represented. It's a different kind of survival show. Besides their teammates, they're truly alone. No camera crews. They film themselves. No gimmicks, no forced challenges. Teams are split, equipped with 5 items each. To win, they must find each other and survive the North Vancouver Island the longest. So, $500,000 at stake, by the way. That's a good prize. That's not a trip to Palm Desert and some Z-Brick like they used to give away on Let's Make a Deal when I was a kid. Palm Springs, that's 40 miles from here. Tune in for all new episodes Thursdays, 10 o'clock, 9 Central on History. That's Alone, Thursdays, 10 o'clock, 9 Central on History. All right, let me take a couple calls here.
Yep.
Marco, 39, New Jersey.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Hello.
Yeah, so I'm thinking really hard about buying a Chevy SS. I wanted to know what you guys think about that car. It's so rare, but it's such a great car, and I'm not really an American car kind of guy, but I love this car. I don't know what you guys think about it.
Like the new SS?
Yes. Here's what I need. I need 4 doors and 3 pedals. I need something fun to drive, but I got 2 little kids, so it needs to be practical, and that just seems to fit the bill. But I'm more of a BMW guy, but, man, this car is so great.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else has 4 doors and 3 pedals other than maybe like M6 Grand Coupe, M3, and maybe this.
What do they have? A 6-speed manual? 7-speed?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a 6-speed with the 6.2-liter LS3, you know, like the Corvette motor, basically.
I did not.
Horsepower.
I was not aware of this car. How many horsepower?
415 and 415 torque as well. Yeah, they didn't market it. So
it's an underrated car. It didn't get the love it deserves.
Great car.
What's the sticker on this thing?
It's about $49,000, and
wow.
It comes. It's like, yeah, no options. It's like they give you everything, and I think you have an option on the transmission. That's it.
I think it's cool. I think it's underrated. It's kind of like the junior version, the more affordable version of the Cadillac CTS-V. You know, if you look at like Corvette and then Corvette Z06, you know, this is the Corvette. If the CTS-V was the Z06, and in my mind, I
I think the one drawback is, like, and it's what everybody says, is people think it's a rent-a-car. People think it's a Malibu, because that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah, but I get it. When did it come out?
2014, and they're done this year, so they're not making any more after
it just didn't sell that well.
Right, so just get a used one.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're not easy to find. But
you'll find one.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't know that they're selling that well. You might be able to still go and maybe even order what you want and get a good discount on it from the dealer. You know, there's probably some sitting on a lot that they can't move, but I think they're cool. I think they're underrated.
I agree. All right, let's talk to what do you got with me and Gavin Newsom?
Oh, I just have you presenting your billion-dollar idea about L.A. Freeway signs.
How long is it?
I could stop it whenever you want.
All right, go ahead. Let's hear it. All right, you ready?
What is it?
All right, L.A., horrible problem with traffic.
Understood.
As you know. It'd be, we could alleviate a lot of it.
Oh, well, what?
But we're stupid.
What?
L.A.'s one of the dumbest cities in America. Well, every other city has a bunch of signs posted along the freeway that basically says, if you can steer it, clear it. Meaning, if you get in a little fender bender, pull over. Hey, if your car's on fire, fine, go ahead and climb out of it. But if you just traded a little bit of paint and a little bit of the plastic on your Prius is scuffed, don't get out and go all CSI on us and block off the number 3 lane. Pull it off to the side of you're blocking the freeway.
I get you.
Pull it off.
All right.
All the other states do it. L.A. And California, with some of the worst traffic in the world,
Smith
doesn't have
a prick, is what he is.
We have the worst traffic in the world. Could you listen to my idea? Okay, I get it. Yeah, I got you. It's like some guys, like he's in Tijuana, and some kid's asking him who wants a shoe shine. Hey, boy. Yeah, what do you got? Take some chiclets. Yeah, what do you got? He's on the phone. All right, keep going. A policy that Idaho thought of.
Is that right?
This can't be the first time you've heard this.
Well, not specifically this. I saw a billboard out on the 405 says you're not stuck in traffic. And you're thinking, how the hell, what does that mean? It says you are traffic. Which I kind of like, which sort of made the point about our own behavior. That
powerful.
Said, you know, I hate the blocking the box stuff, which we don't enforce enough, but we've got rules on that. So it's one thing to have these rules. It's another to enforce them. But I was not aware that places like Idaho have specific legislation.
And people just
educate
people.
I like this.
All right, I'm going to keep going.
Good.
He was not aware. Other Freddy. States do the pull over.
Well, why don't we do it? We're dumb.
Why are you petitioning government to do this? Why are you engaging?
He's talking to you.
We have our mayor, our mayor of Los Angeles.
We got a new mayor's race. You should have had a debate around this.
We're stupid,
you've got
Gavin.
You've got a mayor's race next week. They'll turn it around.
We are some of the
You'll
dumbest.
Have a runoff.
We are the... We are,
you know, why don't you have a mayor's debate here?
I shall.
You should get them both in the room in the runoff.
I'll tell you what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. We are a hot blonde that's in her 40s and past her prime. It's been getting back. We're getting by on our looks. We got an ocean, we got mountains, we got Malibu, and we know it. So we're lazy and we're stupid.
Yeah, we are the aging high school quarterback that's still talking about the good old days.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
And we're not working very hard. We had it too good for too many years. We're stupid. We'll come up with a list of cities that have adopted this brand new idea I'm introducing to Gavin Newsom.
I know. I'm a Northern Californian. I mean, everything works perfectly up there.
All right. That's good. It's not
so diplomatic.
It's not interested in traffic, is what I'm saying. It's a huge problem.
He doesn't see it as a thing.
He doesn't know what's going on with people getting out of their cars. If they have that in Idaho.
If it
steers, it clears.
Yes. There's the people who are like, I don't see it as a thing because... You know, I just don't care, or I don't see it as a thing because there's no financial gain for me to make a statement about it. Like,
he's not interested in human beings. He's interested in elections and getting laid. It's different than being interested in a human being.
I'm down for half of that.
All right.
Elections are awesome.
I'll tell you about Geico, man. Get that tuned up for my show, Max Pata. You want to save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? Sure. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Why wouldn't you do that? Just go to geico.com. Spend a couple of minutes. Dial it in. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Why not do that? Put a little extra money in your pocket at Geico, geico.com. Oh, I felt bad for our caller up there. It was on hold for a long time. Who was our caller? Line now on. Matt, 36.
What's going
Chicago.
On?
You you want to do a 46 Chevy pickup truck?
Yeah.
Ramon? Yeah.
Yeah, the end goal in mind is obviously to sell it for more than what I bought it for, and I bought it at a pretty good price. So I want to improve suspension, maybe a little motor, and some exterior details, and I'll relate it to a house. So say, for example, you want to sell a house or get the most value out of your house. As you know, the kitchen bathroom would probably be a good place to put some money. Where do you think that place is on a car to get the most bang for your buck?
Seems like the paint, the interior, you know, you can dress up the engine with valve covers. And
presentation chrome is always the first thing.
Rims.
Right? Yeah.
Rims. Put some time into those rims. Like, take the stock rims and split them, you know, paint them and redo the hubcaps and all that stuff.
That's the thing. It's like, don't be afraid to do the work yourself if you're capable. Like, just put a little extra time in the shade, buffing and polishing, and you'll be surprised on how good.
Yeah, pull all the stuff out, send it out to be polished and chromed and all that kind of stuff. But I'll start with the rims and then go to the when you see those rims and they're bad, you just it's like a guy with dirty shoes. Like, the rest of the suit doesn't matter. All right. You guys can go to adamcarolla.com if you want to find out some of the stuff that's going on with my live shows and Corolla drinks and all that kind of stuff. You can go to carshow.com.
Carcast Show.
Sorry, carcastshow.com. And click through our Amazon banner if you're going to buy the Garage Boss and all that stuff and say hi. Corolla Drinks got another music and comedy event coming up July 29th, South Bay Customs in El Segundo. So just go to Corolla Drinks. Loxie's going to be there. Mike Dawson, Shift and Steer. Yeah. Let's not forget about that. Coming up tomorrow, shows start at 12:30, huh?
Yeah, we're at the Peterson Museum, live at the Peterson Museum for Deuce Day.
And the Podcasting Masterclass, Irvine Improv, August 5th. Check that out. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.